On the East Coast, back in the mid-1800s, inspired by the beauty and serenity of Walden Pond, Henry David Thoreau shared his life philosophies about simple living in natural surroundings. There's probably no goal that a human being can achieve that's grander than Thoreau's admonition to live the life you've imagined. It's a challenge few are successful at, as the pressures and obligations of life pull us in nearly every direction except the one we really want to go. I'm David Wilson, and this week we continue our portrait of the character and characters of Mendocino wine. Thousands of miles from Walden Pond, literally on the other side of the continent, you can meet a whole lot of people who are living the lives they imagined, which is one of the top reasons that we decided to spend an extended period of time in Northern California's Mendocino wine country. In Mendocino County, individuality and the successful pursuit of one's dreams are characteristics common among both the residents who call this region home and the maverick winemakers that make sure the locals always have something special to drink with their favorite bowl of pasta. This week, we're going to introduce you to three more winemaking enterprises, one large and highly respected winemaking operation that has done much to familiarize the world with the wines of Mendocino, one medium-sized operation drenched in history and tradition. But first, we'll start very small as Grape Encounters ventures into the boonies, where we're about to introduce you to a man who's doing everything in his power to keep his Italian heritage alive. His presence, charm, devotion to a variety of crafts, his old-world style wines, and the very Italianesque environment that he's created will truly take you to another place and time. Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson here. You know, you expected me to give you yet another installment from Mendocino County, but you know, we're going to change it up right now. We have made our way to Italy, at least so it seems. I am sitting in a place that you would swear was not California, certainly not the United States of America. I'm sitting with a guy named John Chiarito. He's the owner of Chiarito Vineyard, and we're not in Italy, actually.
No.
But you are Italian. Amazing thing. You were an American who got Italian citizenship.
That's right.
And then sort of built your own little quasi-Italian compound here in Mendocino County.
I built this, but this is really because of memories of my grandparents and ideas that I had about them and about how they might have lived, and that's why I've created what I created here.
That is such a great tribute. So we're talking about Sicilian grandparents.
No, from Campania.
Oh, from Campania, okay.
And Basilicata.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you know them?
I knew my father's family, not my mother's. I met my grandfather on my mother's side, but they lived in New York City and we were in California, closer to my father's parents, and I spent nearly every Sunday there as a young boy.
So you're all about old world lifestyle and craftsmanship and values and all of those things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You are actually a contractor by trade, really.
I was for a long time, and then I gave up contracting and started the winery.
You weren't losing enough money doing that?
That's it. That's it, yeah.
All right, I want to describe this setting for a second. We're sitting at a place that's called the Talmadge Benchlands, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we're up kind of high, actually. We look down upon the valley floor. We can see Ukiah off in the distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Surrounded by mountains.
We're about 5 miles from Ukiah.
What's the elevation here?
800 or 900 feet. It's not real high right here, but right up on that ridge, I'm sure, is a lot more.
By the way, it feels cold enough to snow, though.
Yeah.
And so you have your cellar underneath your house.
Right.
And that's an interesting feat all to itself. It's agricultural land, and you got a permit to do that.
Yeah. When I first started working here, this was an abandoned walnut orchard, and there was nothing here, none of the buildings. So as I had money, I worked on the house. When I didn't have money, I cut down trees to prepare for the vineyard. And I built the cellar with the intention of just making wine for myself, and I make prosciutto, so it was a place for all of that and not to become commercial.
Okay, so you're a great cook. You make prosciutto. You make your own pastas?
Yes.
What else?
Bread. Bake bread nearly every week.
You're a Renaissance man.
Maybe.
But see, if I saw you on the street, I probably wouldn't even attempt to speak English to you. I'm serious. You look like an Italian guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you got the hat, you got the outfit, you got everything. We're going to put the picture on the website so people can check John out. You've got the perfect look, man. But you build a cellar underneath your house. house, so you must consume a considerable amount of wine on your own.
It's not that I consume that much, but I wanted a place that I could store things, that I could make prosciutto, that I could make wine. That's it. It's not that I consume a lot, but it's something I want to have with my meals, for sure.
And then did you start making it for yourself, and then friends liked it, and they wanted it, and then they started telling their friends about it? Was there an evolution?
There was a bit of an evolution. I mean, people enjoyed the wine that I made as homemade wine, and then I just got tired of building. And so at one point, I just decided, okay, I'm going to launch into this and just become a winery and see what I can make.
Your building involved a lot of hand craftsmanship, right?
There was. It was all custom homes, everything I did.
So how long would you typically take to build a home?
They all varied.
All of your grapes are estate grown?
Yes.
How many acres?
6 acres total in grapes.
So what kind of yield can you get off of that?
About 18 tons total when everything's in production. I have young vineyard now, so I've just got my first 1 ton off that entire 3 acres. So
translate that into cases.
A ton is roughly 60 cases
of
wine.
Yeah, I could finish that up in a month.
At the finished end.
Now, what's really interesting is the varietals that you're growing. You've got some really cool stuff that you're doing that most people would not be the least bit familiar with.
Most people are not familiar with these varieties. There's two Southern Italian varieties, and I chose them because they're interesting wines, and I chose them also as a tribute to my grandparents. That's why I released. These were the first releases that I ever had of wine. Negro Moro is a variety from Puglia, originally from Puglia. Nero d'Avola is a variety originally from Sicily.
Which, by the way, we're drinking right now, and this is spectacular.
Thank you.
Now, if somebody were to like this, what would they probably be drinking in the more conventional wines?
I'm not sure. I think this is totally on its own. I think it's
that's what I was thinking too. That's
wine.
Why I asked
the
question.
I don't think you can compare it with anything else.
Yeah.
It's got a great tannin structure. I think one of the things I love about it is that it's such a mouth-filling wine. It just, as soon as you start to drink it, it just fills your mouth. And the finish can go on for a really, really long time. And I like the tannin structure.
You can actually drink this wine and close your eyes and imagine yourself in Europe. It tastes European. It really does. Yeah.
Well, I try to do a style that's got nice acidity. That's one thing about this grape that's wonderful. I think it's probably because it does come from Sicily, that even when it's ripe, it has great acidity. And so it makes a wonderful food wine. And I don't use a lot of new oak. It tends to be lower alcohol. I want to make a wine that's more European style.
So this property, will you live and die on this property?
I would like that to be the case, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's no place else you want to be.
No. When I was building the cellar and the arch, I was just building the arch. There was nothing else. The rest of the cellar was there, but there was no house above it. And I remember standing back and looking at it and thinking, I could be doing this till I'm 90. So I'm hoping I will.
Well, this is just one of those stories that I wanted to bring to our listeners, because so often we talk to really big winemakers who, everybody's familiar with, they see the labels, but there's so many people like you that are just very anonymous, that are making incredible wines that you really have to look hard to find those wines, but you can get them.
Yeah.
And it's just a labor of love, right?
That's it.
I want to end it on this. There's a building here next to us. We're sitting outside and looking out over the most beautiful fall scene that you can possibly imagine. When we pulled up, I thought, oh my gosh, look how that thing was built in the 1800s. That's the winery, right?
That's my case goods room now, and the winery itself is under
okay,
the house.
Okay, but that's not built in the 1800s.
No, that was finished in 1997.
Tell me about the UPS story, because that's a great story.
Oh, a driver once came up and he was looking at that concrete building. And he said, oh, you've got the property with the old winery on it. And I said, no, that's not an old winery. That's, and he said, no, the old winery. Oh, it's fantastic. I love that building. And, I could never convince him that I had built it. So he drove away thinking I bought the property with the old winery on it.
You're dreaming. Why not let him dream?
Yeah, that's it.
But that was the intention, right? It needed to look old.
Yeah, I wanted it to look old. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, John, it's so nice to talk to you. It's John Chirito, Chirito Vineyard. And I guess you can go online and go to chiritovineyard.com. I'll spell it for you. It's Chiarito Vineyard.com.
singular, by the way, .com, some very interesting Italian varietals and estate-grown Zinfandels and Petit Syrah.
That's right.
And
can they
order wines online?
You can order wine online, yeah.
You know what? Can I make a suggestion to you all? Do that. Order them online. You'll not be disappointed. In fact, if you don't like them, call me up or send me an email. I'll take them off your hands at a slight discount. Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, a company that works very hard at keeping the fun and romance in wine enjoyment. With thousands of products to choose from, Epic Style is the perfect place to do your holiday shopping or simply treat yourself to some very cool accessories, goodies, and gadgets that will make wine drinking more fun. When you next hear my voice, it'll be coming to you from the Mendocino Wine Company, one of the two largest winemakers in Mendocino County. Joining us will be the very engaging and knowledgeable Spencer Brewer, who wears so many hats that the title on his card really and truly does say Ringmaster. Let's go to the circus, shall we? I'm David Wilson.
If you make wine out of raisins, do you have to let it age? More answers coming soon on Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes growing in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
Wow, fall is here. The perfect time of year to escape to an island getaway. Forget flying south or west to some far-off island. Catalina Express makes it easy, fun, and affordable to escape to Catalina Island, where you can bask in the sun, ride the EcoTour zip line, or explore the island on your own kayak. Catch Catalina in a fall frame of mind. There's nothing better. And for those lucky enough to have a birthday this time of year, you get to ride for free on your special day when you pre-register online. Catalina Express has multiple departures daily from Long Beach, San Pedro, and Dana Point. You can even upgrade your excursion for a small fee and enjoy the Commodore's Lounge. Catalina Express has been cruising to Catalina Island for 30 years, so you can depend on them for great service and an outstanding time. For more info about schedules, fares, hotel packages, and activities, go to catalinaexpress.com. You can even book online.
It's so easy to go to Catalina, Catalina Express, Catalina.
Grape Encounters Radio. We are in Mendocino County. We are at the Mendocino Wine Company. We are sitting in front of Spencer Brewer, and your title's Ringmaster?
Yes, it is.
This is serious. That's what's on your card, Spencer.
Yeah, Ringmaster, direct-to-consumer business.
But you're not wearing a tux or anything like that.
No, top hat every once in a while.
Okay, so this is a very big company.
Well, we're the oldest in the county. We're the second biggest, right behind Fetzer. We produce between 400,000 to 500,000 cases a year with over 20 different wineries that we make wine for as well.
Let's talk about the brands that you have.
Well, right now, our biggest one is Parducci. It's the oldest. Next year's our 80th anniversary.
Wow.
And we do Paul Dolan wines. Out in the world, people have maybe have seen Zig Zag Zin, which actually did quite
Everybody's
well for us.
Everybody's seen Zig Zag Zin. I mean, it's one of those labels that when you walk into the market, it's the first thing you notice. You
know? It's different. We actually have downstairs a Zig Zag Zin chocolate that is combined with it. We do Zig Zag Zin shooters in the tasting room. Oh, they're quite fabulous.
Now, the chocolate, does it have little specks of green in it or what?
No. It's just combined with
the But that's one of the
Zin.
Big cash crops here in this county, right?
It is. Don't it doesn't have anything to do with it, with the wine.
So it's not medicinal chocolate.
No.
All right.
We also make Sketchbook, which is in quite a few restaurants all over the country. Of course, we're partnerships with Wines That Rock. So all the wine that goes into the Wines That Rock everywhere in the country comes out of here. We produce it and ship it from this.
It's really
location.
Funny. I had a New York winemaker call me because we did a little bit on Wines That Rock. And he said, I don't understand it. The Wines That Rock are made with California grapes, and you have this Woodstock wine. Now, why in the world wouldn't you use New York grapes instead?
It's called they have a relationship with one well, company to make it.
I think he was making that comment tongue-in-cheek, but it was a point well taken anyway.
Right.
So is this the mission here now to make more and more wines for partnerships like that?
No, not at all. We focus mostly on our core competencies, which are the two brands, Parducci and Paul Dolan. The Pinot that we make is 100% Mendocino County, and we're known as the winery that makes really high-quality wines for very affordable prices. Most Pinots are blends from Sonoma, Napa, and other counties, and they're going to be going anywhere from $20 to $25, $30. We're selling our Pinots at $11.99. It's 100% Pinot. There's no blend in it.
Now, I had the author of Sideways on not long ago, mm-hmm. Rex Pickett, and you know there, of course, have been even studies about what they call the Sideways effect and how that movie affected the Pinot market. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that, first of all, and did it have an impact here, or was it a Central Coast phenomenon?
No, it affected everything. Well, all of a sudden, we saw our Merlot go in the toilet overnight, yeah. And we were making great Merlots.
Did it hurt Merlot more, or did it help Pinot more? In other
yes.
words, what was the net effect?
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Because
it
I was
both.
Told that Merlot grapes were at one time going for $5,000 a ton, and now they're $1,500 or something like that. Is that about right?
It just creamed it.
It got a black eye for really no good reason whatsoever.
Just because it was a good script point.
And it was a real windfall for Merlot lovers, because Merlot prices did drop a lot.
Uh-huh.
And they still are a real bargain. Okay, so since you're dealing directly with the consumer, what are the most significant trends that you see right now?
Right now, people are looking at blends. They want more blends. It seems to be the hot subject that's coming down the pike towards me. They want better deals in their wine clubs, so we have to get extremely competitive on the wine clubs and what we're offering as value add to each wine club member that comes in. We are finding that we have to create more events, more things that bring the consumer and keep the consumer, so there's not as much churn if they leave out the back door.
So the number one complaint that I hear about wine clubs, and mm-hmm. it's my number one complaint about wine clubs, is you join one, you love the wines of this particular winery, but unfortunately, their breadth is about 6 or 7 or 8 wines, and after that, you start getting the same wines over and over again, and why bother? You have so many different labels here. Do you have clubs that will provide a variety of labels to your wine club members, or different options, different plans?
Each particular club we have here is the brand. So within Parducci, we make 15, 20 different Parducci wines, so that you're not going to get the same wine in any given year. And then once the year's over, you're going to get the next year's wine.
It's interesting. I was talking to another winemaker in Sonoma, and he's making wines that are geared toward the affluent Harley mm-hmm. driver, for instance. And more, it seems that we're making wines for these niche markets of people who are not traditionally wine drinkers, that were drinking something else. It's really paying off, isn't it?
It really is paying off, because you have so many websites these days that cobble together a number of brands, because it's the only way they're going to get their wine sold, and the numbers they used to have before the economy sunk, is that the more niche market you hit, the more focused you can be on who you want to hit, the better audience you're going to have, because they're going to be durable. They're going to stay more than your normal 18 months turnover. They're hopefully to be 2 to 3 and 4 years.
Okay, so last question. A couple of years ago, wine became the best-selling adult beverage in America.
Mm-hmm.
What put it over the edge, in your opinion?
That's a great question.
Nobody expected
it, because, you know, how much advertising is Budweiser putting on billboards out there?
Right.
I think a lot of it had to do with several points. One, how many movies are being made about wine? Compelling movies. I think that's a big one. Number two, wine started coming down in price, and they become more accessible. They have so many choices, and it's so affordable now. And I really think that the baby boomers have come of age to where they're not really just wanting to go out and drink beer. They really want to refine their tastes, and have something a little bit more designed for what their taste buds are.
Is it also that they're willing to experiment and move outside of the big eight or nine that were always the traditional varietals that people were drinking? Because there's a lot of interesting wine out there now.
Oh, there's an incredibly diverse amount of wines.
And people are more daring, aren't they?
Yeah, okay, especially right. Especially when they're able to.
It's Spencer Brewer. He is the ringmaster, although it is radio, so you don't know that he's not wearing a top hat, but he's not. Definitely associated with one of the great names out of Mendocino County, and glad to have you on Grape Encounters.
Thank you so much, David. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Okay, now we're on our way to meet Jim Maloney of Terra Savia Wines. Along with Greg Graziano, who you met last week, Jim was responsible for founding the Milano Winery, the area's first post-prohibition winemaker.
Flash photography, cell phones, and the use of pretentious language is strictly prohibited while listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
Just how well do you know this David Wilson? It seems pretty clear he shares your love of the vino lifestyle. Is he just another funny fellow with a face made for radio? Heck no. Is he all talk and no substance? Come on, you know better than that. Or do you? When it comes to having a grape encounter, there's so much more than meets the ear. That's why we're all over the World Wide Web. GrapeEncountersRadio.com is the wine lover's treasure chest. Resources including links to the people and places we talk about each week, an incredible gallery of photos, the blog, an online store with the hottest gadgets and wine reviews, and all of our past episodes, all presented in one place. Plus, we're on Facebook. Join the Facebook group page and connect with the Grape Encounters radio listening community. There's other perks, too. Win really nice wine-related prizes and possibly be featured on an upcoming broadcast. Remember, GrapeEncountersRadio.com and Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. Like us. We love you.
This little product is a big wow. The amazing napkin from JNC is a little larger than a breath mint until you wet it. Then it instantly expands into a soft, sturdy, and biodegradable hand towel. Carry it in your purse, glove box, golf bag, or tackle box. Keep a supply in the kitchen, bathroom, and garage. Delight your dinner guests. Take a moment to see the napkin in action at napkinjnc.com. Get the year's coolest product at napkinjnc.com or click the link at grapeencounters.com.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice. Skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
And our gigantic Grape Encounter in Mendocino County continues, and I'm so glad to have this next guest with me. Actually, I'm with him because I'm sitting in his winery, hence the echo that you hear. His name is Jim Maloney, and I think it's appropriate to describe him as a winemaking maverick. Is that fair, Jim?
I guess that's probably a fair description, yes.
You don't care about the rules, right?
There ain't no rules. We just want it to taste good.
So the entity is Terra Savia.
Terra Savia is the name of our wine brand, yes.
I think we should start by translating.
Well, it means wise earth, and we kind of chose that name. We make organic wines and organic olive oils, and wise earth essentially relates to the fact that we are trying to make wise choices, and thus the Terra Savia.
Okay, now you've been in the business a very long time.
Long time. I've been making commercial wine for
decades
35
here.
Years, yeah.
And you were associated with Milano, right?
I started Milano Winery, co-founded Milano Winery with an old buddy of mine. We were about 19 when we started. We actually had to wait a couple of years to get bonded for obvious reasons.
Well, to get legal.
We weren't
exactly
old enough to drink yet, but that was Greg Graziano. He and I were old school buddies.
Well, the exciting thing is I can relate to that because my brothers had fabricated a still long before they were drinking age. I was a beneficiary of that. I want to talk about the Italian connection here in this area. Mm-hmm. It seems like about 50% at least of the winemakers have an Italian connection. What's that about?
Well, a lot of our ancestors ancestors were drawn here from Italy because the climate was very similar to where they grew up. My great-grandfather was actually from northern Italy and had a winery here in Hopland before Prohibition. Actually, that winery was shut down during Prohibition. He got busted, and as the story goes, he headed for the hills. They busted up the winery, and there were no other wineries here in Hopland until I started Milano Winery in 1975.
Are you serious?
Seriously.
You were the first.
So we were the first winery to start after Prohibition in the area.
So you're growing organic grapes, making organic wines, but you've been doing that for a long time, even before it was fashionable.
I'm not a Davis graduate. I went to Humboldt State. I studied environmental science. So for me, when I came back from college and kind of did my own back to the earth movement, the way I decided to make wine happens to be organically. I didn't know that at the time.
Or maybe you just couldn't afford pesticides.
Well, that was another part of it. Yeah. Well, my father's generation, you know, they were part of that whole, you know, take this magic pill and it'll fix everything, you know, farming generation. Whereas my grandfather's generation farmed like we farm. You know, they had the true symbiotic relationship within their vineyard, which I guess we, you know, we have different terms for it now. But organic farming in his generation was not an option. That's just the way you did things.
But there's a lot that goes on in the vineyard well after the grapes are picked.
Absolutely. You know, as I tell people, we start making wine in the late fall when we compost in the vineyards and when we plant cover crops and when we start to prune. You're actually starting to make wine right there because we actually grow what we consider the vineyard floor. We grow the soil and then the vines flourish and the vines will produce good quality fruit and with enhanced flavors. The only thing that we really, I think, give up by not farming conventionally is volume. We are not able to produce the same kind of volume on this particular
acre. How much is your yield reduced by farming organically?
You know, I would say 30%.
That much?
Yeah, easily.
Wow.
Easily. Some years more.
You need more dirt, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. Stack the dirt higher or something.
All right, let's talk olives for a second, because this is certainly a growing trend here in California, mm-hmm. winemakers planting olive trees, mm-hmm. Because the seasons are not in conflict with one another.
Well, they're not. Only in the springtime, you know, when it comes time for spring and winter, when it comes time for pruning and tilling and those kind of things, you know, taking care of the trees and the vines. But in the fall, the harvest, the olive harvest is usually right after the grape harvest.
So it keeps the workers working a little longer.
Well, yes, it does. And I think a lot of it is that same romantic attraction that attracts people to the wine business. It's similar with olives. You know, it's hard to find an estate winery somewhere without a few olive trees planted. It just kind of seems like the next step.
It certainly seems to me that more and more people are really taking olive oil seriously.
Oh, absolutely. I think Americans' palates are starting to change and understand the difference in quality in olive oil. I know for me, once we started producing our own olive oil here, it was quite an eye-opener for me to taste this fresh olive oil. I'd always, you know, I grew up, you know, we ate olive oil out of 5-gallon cans and it was just a standard. And then once I tasted the good stuff, now I'm pretty much ruined for the rest of my life.
I still have 5-gallon cans.
But, well, we do too.
You know, but the thing is when I run out of wine, I usually just pour myself a glass of olive oil.
It's a great fit with wine. And of course, you know, food, you know, wine and food. It's kind of the next step. It's a good fit.
All right. Let's talk about the wines that you make. In fact, let's talk about wine and food for a second, because mm-hmm. I've had many people, friends in the winemaking business, refer to their wines as being great food wines. Mm. And when somebody says food wine, to me, that means that I'm going to make a meal out of the bottle and forget, you know, the steak or anything else.
Many wines become a meal when I think people talk about wine going with food. You know, it's a different style of wine that actually enhances food, like our sparkling wine, our Blanc de Blanc. It's very crisp. It's somewhat lemony, and it really does enhance things like lobster bisque or caviar, fatty, you know, Bernays sauce type things. And so it has that nice contrast, whereas some bottles of red wine or maybe a very heavily made Chardonnay that has a lot of malolactic many times is a meal in itself.
What drives your winemaking design decisions? Is it the food or is it the wine?
It's the wine. I really do not make wines to pair with food specifically. Some of them do very well, but I don't make wine thinking, oh, I'm going to do this to it so it'll go better with a steak.
So you don't go, my mom used to make this great brisket and I'm going to make a wine to go with that.
No. I try to take each wine and make it the best that it can be, to, you know, steal a phrase. I think every wine has a certain potential, and I think if you try to put a square peg in a round hole, that's how you end up with wines that are kind of funky.
And I'm going to guess that you make your wines for you.
I do. I make wines that I like to drink. And what's really dictated my style is I made a whole bunch of over-extracted wines back in the early 80s that are just terrible. They were great when they were young, and in my cellar, they just fell apart. So what's really changed my style as a winemaker is I've learned that, and I hate to admit, but I have to give some credit to our French friends that, you know, wines with finesse, a little lighter style, definitely age better. And, you know, being older now, I can appreciate a wine that's had some age. You know, when I was a young winemaker back in the mid-late 70s, we didn't have access to a lot of old wines.
But if you talk to most winemakers now, I think they will tell you that they really don't make wines to lay down so much anymore, that, you know, wines are made to drink now.
Well,
I hear that more and more and more.
I think it depends on how you sell your wine. And if you're, you know, in an extreme commercial situation, you have to make wines that will drink well early, because most wines in this country are consumed early. Depending on your situation, if you're in a situation where you can make wines that you can afford to lay down, then that would dictate your style a bit also. But I also have, you know, another one of my little pet theories that, from my experience, the wines that I've made that aged well were actually approachable early as well. So I don't necessarily think that wine has to be old to be approachable. Good wine, the best wines that I've made were good when they were young, and they're still good.
See, that's like me. I was good when I was young. I just am a lot better now. It's just so that I creak when I get up now. And
well, more finesse.
Exactly.
But I call that finesse now. I move slower, so I just tell my wife, well, that's finesse. You know, no more bull in the china shop.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Maloney of Terra Savia Wines, but I must say, you are never too old to spend a little time out on Catalina Island, which to my knowledge is one of the very few islands where you can find a vineyard. And oh, what a sight for sore eyes that is. So really, there are two destinations you need to put on your bucket list: Mendocino Wine Country and Catalina Island. And to get to Catalina, take the fast, economical, and very comfortable Catalina Express. The Catalina Express has multiple daily departures out of San Pedro, Long Beach, and Dana Point. You can see their fall schedule and purchase tickets online at CatalinaExpress.com. And don't forget, travel for free aboard the Catalina Express on your birthday. No kidding. All you have to do is register online at CatalinaExpress.com. That's a hard one to beat. Another thing that's really tough to beat is the amazing wine at Terra Savia in Mendocino County. And we're fortunate to be able to sample this organic winemaking artistry today here on Grape Encounters Radio. Jim Maloney, a director of wine sales, but really the grand poobah of Terra Savia. And Terra Savia can be found online?
We are online. We do have a web presence with our website, and we're widely distributed in Whole Foods in California.
That's quite an honor, huh?
It is. It didn't happen easily. Took a little legwork on my part. But yes, it's been very nice having that market presence.
You know, it's interesting about the markets like Whole Foods. It seems to me like about, you know, 5-10 years ago, you would go in and you would see the organic wines, but there would be the same wine and there would be like 10 bottles all horizontally next to each other.
Right.
And now it's starting to narrow where it's like a regular wine store or a big supermarket now. You know, they try to stretch it out to make it look like a lot of wine, but it really wasn't at all.
Well, they have more options now, and I think the organic segment has just gotten better and better.
Any desire to go biodynamic?
You know, biodynamic to me is, and that was kind of the word I was looking for when I was talking about the way my grandfather farmed. My grandfather had the true definition of a biodynamic farm, which was one symbiotic unit. There are very few people that can do that. That's very, very difficult. And even for us, as dedicated as we are to that idea, and even though we have pretty much a closed system, it's almost impossible these days to only use things that come from your own farm. So we do that as much as possible. But as far as being certified biodynamic, no.
There's a lot that goes into that.
There is.
And you have to have a very open mind.
Absolutely.
All right, so last question. You go to the Central Coast. I know that when I taste Central Coast wines, I can generally recognize them. I can tell the difference between a Central Coast Pinot and an Oregon Pinot, for instance. Mm-hmm. I can tell the difference, I think, between Napa wines and Mendocino wines. They're different characteristics. What do you have that these other areas don't? What do you have on them, and what do they have on you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's hard when you put it in that context. I think the biggest variation is geography. because you can find within each of those regions, subregions or microclimates that are very similar. I think you can find wines in Calistoga that are very similar to Hopland. I think you can find wines in Carneros that are very similar to the Anderson Valley. So I think it has more to do with microclimates than really counties or broader regions. So I don't think anybody really has anything naturally an advantage as far as microclimate or geography, but I think that there are regions that have maybe a one-up as far as marketing and have had wineries there longer, bigger, more serious producers. So I think, and part of our history in Mendocino is that we have this Italian heritage that you're talking about and more farmer wines. And I think other areas maybe have had more sophisticated wine producers in their regions longer.
It's an interesting point, Napa. The farmer wines, you know, mm-hmm. family-made wines. Yeah. There's a different style to them altogether.
Right. But they're sort of coming into fashion because it's the personality of wine that I think is starting to make us more popular.
But the person who's hearing us on a podcast in Poughkeepsie,
mm-hmm.
what would you tell them would be the reason for them to look for Mendocino wines?
Most Mendocino wines are very personal. There is generally a person like myself that's behind that wine. Whether you go back to the past generation of John Parducci or my generation, there's usually somebody who is a driving force that's very close to those wines. We're not corporate.
I always tell people that if you learn something about the person who made the wine, you'll like the wine better.
Oh, absolutely. That's the fun of it.
Unless it's a real jerk of a winemaker.
Well, there you go.
There are a few of those out there.
Yeah, and then it's a drag when they make good wine, you know?
All right. Jim Maloney, winemaker of Terrasavia in Hopland, California, in beautiful Mendocino County. You know, it's the trailing edge of the California wine country, but an area that you should not overlook. They don't get as much publicity, but they certainly get a good product to market and more grape encounters coming your way. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you being on, Jim.
Thank you. My pleasure.
The media is quick to tell you what the hottest selling toys and games are, but what about presents for us wine lovers? Well, if there's anyone that has the facts, it's our gadget guru, Matt Dubow, next on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we're not impressed by people who drink expensive wine. Without us.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
Happy holidays from your friends at Grape Encounters Radio. 2011 has been a great year. We've taken you on field trips from California's wine country to deep in the heart of Texas, from vino train trips to one of the nation's biggest county fairs. Thank you for making this the most exciting 12 months of Grape Encounters yet. And the best is yet to come. More fascinating guests, more exciting destinations, and the best wine show on earth. Cheers to a happy 2012.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
It is
is Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here. Want to take a little break from our visits here in Mendocino to get on the line the guy that we really need to talk to, because it's only a couple of weeks away from the big holiday, and nobody knows more about what we should be doing when it comes to gift giving for wine lovers than Matt Dubow, the gadget guru. Ain't that right, Matt?
Of course.
Do you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm the expert?
No. I don't have that big an ego.
No, you're very humble to be. But a lot of people will be celebrating different holidays. Some people celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever it is. And your business is a pure frenzy right now, right?
It's very busy for the holidays right now. It's crazy.
So I think it was probably 2 months ago that we did some anticipating in terms of what products we thought were going to be hot for the holidays. And here's what I just wonder. Any surprises?
No.
What? Come on.
No.
I thought you were going to say, well, we have these acrylic glasses with a poodle wearing a barbecue apron, and those are really big this year, but...
That was last year.
This, of course, is Matt Dubow, who is the vice president of EpicStyle.com. EpicStyle being the company that you go to if you're looking for lifestyle products and you're a wine lover, or, you know, if you drink spirits or beer too, they've got lots of products for you as well. In fact, more than anybody else, but we don't want to emphasize big. We want to emphasize great.
Okay. I agree with that.
Well, no, I'm serious. I mean, you really have a great knack for understanding what people like and want. And I just continue to be amazed by how progressively more casual our wine drinkers are getting. They're just having fun.
Well, isn't that what it's all about? Or should be what it's all about? It's having fun.
It was the very first time that I opened a bottle of wine. It was all about fun. It was also all about the fact that I had stolen that bottle of wine from my mom and dad, and they didn't know it, and I got away with it. Did you steal wine or beer when you were a young kid?
It was beer.
It was beer?
It was beer.
Okay. No hard liquor.
It started with beer, and then let's say we went to some other spirits.
Okay, so speaking of getting into the spirits, I mean getting into the spirit, let's talk about what's hot and what's not. Hey, is there anything that's not selling that you thought was going to sell?
No, I pretty much nailed it on the head. Thanks, David.
You did. So you're sort of the Karnak of the gift-giving world. Cork cages, I'm guessing, number one, right?
Cork cage is definitely number one, and our cork cage ornaments are right up there, actually, and we're almost sold out of them.
I like the cork cage ornaments the best. I've mentioned it before, but I think that that's something that I want to buy maybe 50 of, and then I'm going to find some inexpensive wine that nobody knows is inexpensive, and I'm going to hang those ornaments from the wine bottle, and then they can put the ornament on the tree or whatever, and they're going to like me for it and not realize that I passed off a less than expensive bottle on them, because they're going to be so distracted by the ornament.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. What else is hot?
The Vacuvin wine. Wine Saver, the pump and stoppers are real popular, as well as Wine Away.
Well, Wine Away I can understand. The Vacuvin kind of baffles me a little bit, because I always seem to get some resistance from people when it comes to preserving your wine. I mean, people tend to be a little bit lazy. So is it just you that's educating them, or how are they finding this out that they should be using this product?
Well, I think Vacuvin's been around for quite a long time, and many people are familiar with it. And not everybody sits down and drinks a whole bottle of wine at a sitting. So
speak for yourself.
So you need some sort of preservation system, and that's a really good one. We have our own. And another product that people have been purchasing is Private Preserve, which is an inert gas that takes out all the air of the bottle, and you put a stopper in after you have sprayed the Private Preserve in the bottle.
How many bottles can you preserve from one canister of that? It's quite a few, right? So it's,
yeah.
You're not going to run out the next day.
No.
And you say it's an inert gas. What's inert gas then?
A nerd gas?
Well, inert. There's inert, and then there must be nert. Oh, never mind. Okay. All right, give me some other goodies.
Well, we have our wine cheese boards that are really popular, and our painted wine glasses are off the charts.
All right, let's talk about the painted wine glasses. There's not a machine that the glass runs through, and it just, like, whips some paint on the glass. These are all hand-done.
Most of them are totally hand-painted.
So you can get ones that are really essentially original works of art.
Correct.
That
that's a lot of work because you do have a formidable catalog of products. I'm surprised that you take the time out to put that individual effort into those products. I'm very proud of you, Matt.
Well, thank you. I do them all myself.
You do not. You don't do that.
But we do design most of the items we sell. Granted, we sell other items like Scruple items and Vacuvin, but we do have our own set of designers who design most of our items.
Okay, we got less than a minute left. Give me two more, two biggies. Throw it at me.
Well, you have your Scruple lever model corkscrew, which is, in my opinion, probably one of the best corkscrews ever made. I think it just works fantabulous.
And it's very sexy, too. It's really cool the way it's made.
I've always liked the Scruple products. And if you didn't know that, Scruple is actually owned by La Crusade, which makes wonderful pots and pans.
I was actually at a kitchen store that happens to sell your products. What I didn't realize was even under the Scruple name, there are some other products that don't have anything to do with wine, and they do call them Scruple.
Well, I know they do some barware as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, one more. Make it a good one.
Okay, our power-up corkscrew. The electric corkscrew with the blue light.
Well, we have called for at least a half a year the blue light special.
Great item.
Why don't they put a red light in there? I don't get that because, you know what I've taught you about red light and wine, Matt. You know, could you talk to them about putting a red light in there? I think it would be good.
Well, I'm sure for you we can make the district corkscrew.
All right. Okay. Matt, it's all really good stuff. And I'll tell you what, the nice thing is if somebody goes to epicstyle.com, you've really got the top stuff laid out right there in front. They can see it. It's really nicely displayed. It's easy to shop at epicstyle.com. You've made it very easy. You've got a very good website, Matt. I'd give you an A+.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters from Mendocino County this week. We're going to be back one more week in Mendocino, and it will be one week from the big holiday, too. So, Matt, you're going to have to lay some very good last-minute ideas on us when we return next week with Grape Encounters Radio.
You'll find Grape Encounters Radio located at the corner of Fermented and Demented. You do have a GPS, don't you?